listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus who comes to us in peace. Amen. Christmas is in its final incubation stages. The baby in the manger is not quite ripe, but it's getting closer and closer. Have you ever eaten a piece of fruit that's not quite ripe? The child of Bethlehem is still green, but it's getting closer and closer. Are you ready? Isaiah tells us today, in the words that Amy just read, that a desert will rejoice and blossom. Get that picture in your head. The desert rejoicing and blossoming. The burning sand, Isaiah says, shall become a pool. And that a royal highway shall break forth across the desert, the rough places smoothed. In modern times, I hear that and I think, there are no lines or delays at the airports, no traffic on the highways, and all will head together to Zion, the holy city. This third Sunday of Advent is an opportune moment to talk again about the already and not yet of God. This is the paradox, the already and not yet, that God's presence is both beyond time and space. It's above it, beyond it, underneath it, with it. We can't understand. And it's also immediate. It's right here and right now at the very same time. We can give thanks for the Jesus of history, the one who lived and died and was resurrected on this earth. We can hope with joy for the second coming of Christ, which we hear over and over every Sunday, God's people gather together. And also, we have faith, sisters and brothers in Christ, that Christ's enduring presence is with us even now in the midst of our waiting. Christ is with us even in this in-between time. God arrives already and not yet. Our Advent faith, you see, is complicated, and it is not meant to be practiced alone. You know, Isaiah was writing centuries before Jesus' birth. When we read him, as we always do during the Advent season, I have this vivid imagination, and sometimes I imagine he's almost like this Renaissance, you know, decked out in all this kind of Renaissance garb, this herald during the Renaissance period or something, and he's kind of dancing and holding a trumpet, announcing Mary's pregnancy with a feather pen, maybe, and maybe a feather in his hat. I get a little carried away. But it's important to remember that Isaiah was writing centuries before Jesus was born, and not just kind of a couple steps ahead of Mary. He was writing in a terrifying time from a terrifying place of Babylon. It was during the Babylonian captivity. Imagine that for just a second. Babylon, the distance from Israel to Babylon is about the equivalent to maybe here to Colorado. Okay? And imagine in that period of time being taken that far away. Imagine, and it's hard for us to do because our military force is so powerful. It's hard to even put our minds around this. But imagine another country coming, taking over our country, and taking us all away to a distant land, and we're not really sure if we'll ever make it back. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? And yet this is the context of Isaiah's writing. It was during that kind of uproar that Isaiah spoke these words, "Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. Waters break forth in the wilderness, he said. He could have very well had screams, you know, in the distant as he wrote those words. How in the world is God present in such strife? I wonder if the people must have gotten upset with Isaiah. What does Isaiah mean by saying, "Your God is here"? Where? You ever feel like that? Sunday after Sunday, you hear those words. God is here. And yet maybe, even though we say it at church, the pastor says it over and over, where is God? It's hard. It's hard to hear those words over and over and find sometimes God couldn't feel farther away. John the Baptist would be questioning with you. So we hear from him again this Sunday. Locked up in prison. Last week we were only in chapter 2 and he's out there baptizing by the Jordan River. Fast forward, now we're in chapter 11, 9 chapters later, and he's been locked up by Herod, by the cultural and the religious state. He's been locked up and he throws out this question, is Jesus the one to come or should we wait for another? You see, these are the final stages of the incubation. Before we just take and swallow whole the Christmas baby and that glorious nativity, before we belt out our Christmas carols and bow our heads over our Christmas feasts and open our Christmas gifts and bask in all the glory of Christmas, we have to at least ponder John the Baptist's question for us today. Is this really the one to come? Or are we to wait for another? Really? God is here now? Really? Look at the world. People of God, the answer is yes. Jesus is the one to come. And so we wait. It's both. John's question this morning really launches us into this complicated Christian life of giving thanks for the Christ who came, who lived, died, and was resurrected, of hoping for the Christ who is yet to come, and trusting in the Christ who is here right now, right here in our midst. We are Advent people. We are in between people. We are in the meantime people. And we give thanks for the Christ who was and is and who is to come. Is anybody following me? Is this confusing? Can anybody explain it to me, please? Because I struggle to understand this truth of our faith. And that's okay. The mystery of the ages, this God with us, who is with us in so many and various ways, is not meant to be figured out and diagrammed nicely and neatly in a little sermon by an 8-year-old pastor. Part of the joy of Advent is that we come together and we bask in this mystery that is God. We bask together in this already and not yetness of God's presence. Advent is our time to clear away the excess and ponder God's hovering over every star in the universe and at the same time hovering over every cell in our bodies. We can't explain it, sisters and brothers in Christ. We can't explain it, even if our Western rational scientific inclinations scream that we should understand it and be able to draw a diagram of it. Maybe we should take a cue from our Eastern Orthodox sisters and brothers, because they don't try to explain it. I think they do that a little bit better than those of us Western Christians. They really make a point not to try to explain the mystery of God's already and not yetness. You know what they do? They light some candles, and they burn some incense, and they sing ancient words, ancient hymns. And they bask in the wonder and the mystery of God with us. We do this too a little bit, but I think we can take a cue from them in the way that they really make a point, our Eastern Orthodox sisters and brothers, not to explain away God's mystery and God's wonder. Rather, enjoy it. Know that it is all around. Trust that God is with us even now and in this place and time. I'm reading a daily devotion. Some of you know, I've been sharing it on our Wednesday night devotions when we do Advent Vespers here. My devotion this Advent is written by the Lutheran theologian and scholar Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was living and working in the 1940s in Germany. So you know what was happening in the 1940s in Germany, and he was part of the resistance movement against the Nazis. And because of that, he was locked up, much like maybe Isaiah was, much like Nelson Mandela was at a certain time. He was locked up, and from this jail cell, he writes all kinds of letters. And so recent authors and things have taken some of his writings and putting it together to make a nice little devotion. So this has been a nice companion for me. It's called God is in the Manger, which is an interesting thought just right there. God is in the manger. And I share just a little bit with you this day. From Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he writes this on December 1st, 1943, and he's writing to his fiancée. So he hasn't even been married. He's locked up far away from her, and he writes this. I think we're going to have an exceptionally good Christmas. He's in jail. I think we're going to have an exceptionally good Christmas. There's no hope of him getting out. I think we're going to have an exceptionally good Christmas. The very fact that every outward circumstance precludes our making provision for it will show whether we can be content with what is truly essential. I used to be very fond of thinking up and buying presents, but now that we have nothing to give, the gift God gave us in the birth of Christ will seem all the more glorious. The emptier our hands, the better we understand what Luther meant by his dying words, "We are beggars, it's true." The poorer our quarters, the more clearly we perceive that our hearts should be Christ's home on earth. I just keep coming back to that. Bonhoeffer having nothing in prison. The rest of the world's eyes, he has. There's no hope of him ever getting out of that bind. There's no hope of him ever being reunited with his fiancée or with his dear family. And yet he says, I think we're about to have an exceptionally good Christmas because of the emptiness in that cell and in his life. There's room for Christ to come. Sisters and brothers, it is with empty hands that we approach the manger again this year. Christ comes to make a home in you this day. This one, this mystery of the ages, however it happens, we can't quite explain, but however it happens, this one, this mystery of the ages, comes to be among us and warms us from the inside so that we can go outside and warm and care for this cold and frightened world. God is with us. The prophet was right. Let your heart stand up straight. Let the air and the peace of God fill your lungs, for it surely does. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Isaiah was right. Bonhoeffer was right. It is going to be an exceptionally good Christmas. For God in Christ comes to be among us, especially those of us who are hurting the most. That's exactly where and to whom Jesus goes first. Praise be to God for that. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.